you. All right. Welcome, ladies. So it's so good to see you. Oh, my goodness. Already the morning has been like just amazing. Okay. So I am someone who does laugh, and all of a sudden you just hear this massive explosion, right? With I'm mic'd up, you know, forgive me in advance. But anyway, just, yeah, what a great morning. And it's interesting when you're, you know, preparing for something like that. Or like this session, and you know, you don't know what your lead speaker is going to be speaking on. You just, you know, have to go and prepare something, and then when you all of a sudden you hear her talking, you hear the songs that we're singing, it's like, oh wow, Lord, oh my goodness, you're just so amazing in how He orders us and orders what we're going to talk about. So we are going to be focusing on, I'm about teaching scripture. That's, you know, my heart. I believe it's about getting into His word and getting the word into us. And so we are going to be talking about how the Lord is our strength. We'll be, you know, focusing on Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. And just, you know, connecting with, you know, what Laurel was saying, and even the theme of this conference in terms of it as well. Hello. You know, one of the first things, like, it is a heavy time. And candidly, just life is heavy. It's not even that this time is a heavy time. I think it's actually most of the time heavy. Life is heavy, you know, and that that is a reality of the human condition of, you know, how we live, of a sinful, broken world. And, you know, God uses that in spite of our brokenness, you know, like He moves in it. And so in this heaviness, though, He gives us promises for us to stand on. And so the promise I want us to focus on is, because there are many promises in the Bible, this is the one of the many that promises about His strength. And I was thinking about this because even Laurel mentioned it. I think many of us, we know God, we love God, and I just want to know, like, who of my sisters here potentially have, like, sticky notes all over their house, like maybe on a mirror, in their car, on the refrigerator. Yes, it's like, oh my gosh, life is rough, life is hard. I need to have the support of the Word to encourage me. So I have, like, here's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Is there anyone who has a scripture that kind of like is their go-to, their little sticky?
He is faithful and promised.
Ah, yes. Yes, I mean, it is, you know, we cling to those. We, you know, we try to shore ourselves up and encourage ourselves. But there's one thing about, like, the hard times is it highlights whether we really believe that God can actually fulfill our sticky, His word, right? So in the Lord, who really is the Lord? Can I truly trust Him? Will He make my way straight? Will He, you know, help me to do all things? It is only in the difficult times that we prove out truly who He is in our lives and know, you know, do we know that we know that we know who He is? So anyway, I want to focus on, if you got your Bibles, if not, everything will be up here. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. I'm going to read it first, and then we will walk it. So, Isaiah 40, 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to one who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father God, I just thank you so much for your word. Lord, I just pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive your truth, Lord. That this would be just a time of refreshment and joy, Lord, that we would leave with your strength, with the confidence that we truly do have your strength and that we can walk in it, Lord. Please speak to us, Father, as only you can, in Jesus' name. So, and at Bible study fellowship, ladies, I know there's ladies in the Thursday women's Bible study group Wednesday. There's Wednesday. We have many Bible studies around here, and I know that there are many of you that, hey, love context and believe, like I do, that context does matter. So we're going to just do a little bit of check of, you know, that incredible verse. Where does it fit into God's story and in Isaiah? So Isaiah, the Bible within the Bible, right? 66 chapters, 66 books. It's amazing. And we are, you know, we'll be covering in this place in chapter 40, but this is kind of the breakdown of the book. You've got, whoa, 39 chapters. Essentially, this is where the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, as we're speaking in the 8th century into the divided kingdom, say, whoa, you know, judgment, repent. Judgment is here. Judgment is here. You have broken the covenant with God, and we're invoking the curses of Deuteronomy 28. What's driving the judgment? And I'll figure out what that noise is. What's driving the judgment? The main reasons. There has been complacent religiosity. You know, just going through the motions. The heart is not there. Idolatry abounds. Kings have been seeking other nations for assistance. And then there's been injustice and oppression against the poor and the needy. Ah, that breaks God's heart. It breaks God's heart, right? So we have here the judgment. God is using the arm of Assyria to come against Israel and Judah and the other nations. So you're here. You're here, one of the faithful, because there are faithful. God always has a remnant. You're a faithful Jew here in chapter 39. And oh my goodness, you are seeing the arm of Assyria come in. The northern kingdom is gone, has been taken away and deported into other lands. And this amazing empire is coming in around Jerusalem. Territory, your homeland is being lost. Your kinsmen, you know, are being lost. You are seeing your ruler, your king, seek to protect your land, and they are paying tribute. You're all of a sudden, now you're paying a lot of taxes, more and more taxes, because we are trying to protect our land and pay off the Assyrians to keep them away. And you've seen your leader put up even an idol to the Assyrian god in your temple and claim it to be a god of the nation. You are seeing this. And then here, actually the last king, the southern kingdom, is a good king, but he's still paying the tribute. And we see the raising up of his pride, where he brings in, I know I'm so broad brushing this, guys, I'm so sorry. he's not going to rely on God at the very end. He brings in this new nation of Babylon to show him all of his wealth, because he's trying to raise up a partnership, right? Well, now what do we know? The judgment here is, oh, you've not relied on me. Know that your judgment has come. Soon you will lose your land. And we do know that Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, does fall. Well, my goodness, that's heavy. That's heavy. You're sitting here going, oh, Lord, Lord, I've been serving you. I've been seeking you. You are mine. I am yours. And I am looking, not only facing kind of the burden of just life in general, I'm facing the burden of, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my home. people I love and care about will lose their home. That's where we, you know, you are in 39. But then you cross into 40, because God always makes a way. And so 40 actually breaks through comfort. Comfort, my comfort, speak comfort to my people from God. And interesting, the comfort there. Comfort is not the, I know Pam, so I can do this. It's not the stroke. It's not the, oh, it's the hug, the warm sweater. It's not the bowl of pasta. Yeah, that works for me. Yeah. That's not the comfort here. It's strength. Strength. I speak strength. God is speaking strength to you, my people. And that actually is what 40 starts speaking forth. And our text today will kind of be that anchor text here. So now I'm moving into 27. Yeah, I know. Okay. So we start, but normally we'll jump right to what the 31, you know, and just wait on the Lord. But no, the section starts 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? Those are the original names of his people, right? He's speaking now to his chosen people, to his remnant. And by the way, if we are followers of Jesus, we are his chosen. We are his chosen. His chosen who are saying, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded from my God. Like, God, are you looking? Do you hear me? Do you see? Do you see what's going on? So you have God acknowledging. He knows his people are feeling this way. That they are hurting, that they don't feel seen, that they feel like they're dealing with consequences that maybe they weren't even a part of, but they're a victim to. So, Lord, do you see me? It's good for us to know that the Lord sees us and acknowledges where we are. And then, though, we see, have you not known? Have you not heard? And when we see these questions, how we should read them, have you not known? I know that you know. I know that you know. Have you not heard? Because I know. I know that you have heard. I know that you have heard. It is the Lord. He is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He goes straight to God's majesty. And this is a huge theme of this chapter, of chapter 40. Matter of fact, if we're going to go up a couple of verses to verse 12, this creator God who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And then in a verse that's right before where we're starting, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host, the stars, brings out the stars by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. So this is our God, our creator God, who knows, like billions of stars, he knows their name. He for sure knows your name. He knows your name. So it's interesting. I am a person who asks why. I am the horrible, like, elementary school person who would be like, why? 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 Why did Isaiah, and through God, right, go here? You know, he didn't come down to speaking the, yes, I am your deliverer, go right there, or I am your restorer, or I am, I'm your strong tower. No, he goes big. Now, I am your creator, God. I've made all this. I sustain it all. And you know it, but you need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded of how big our God is. Because, I don't know about you, but I am someone who, like, we bring God into our problems. And it's wonderful because he can be brought into our problems. He can be brought near to us. But there are times when things are tough, We need to know that our God is great. He is great. He is so much bigger than we ever think or can imagine. He is amazing. It is this God. Is this God? We're moving back into our passage. Verse 28, this God, he does not faint. He does not get weary. He does not get weak. He sustains the universe. He does not get weak. So we need to know that's who we serve. That is who our Lord God, Jesus, is. And then, though, now we're going to take another cycle, another aspect. And his understanding is unsearchable. His understanding is unsearchable. And so I'm going to go back up into chapter 40 because this is more of a summary. Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? No one. No one. He is our Almighty God. He's transcendent, above it all, all-knowing, right? All-knowing. And then who are we? And so we have to be reminded, because we do. We forget. We are forgetful people. And I think also, I speak for myself. I don't know. Someone used the term meism, and I think it's a good one. It's a good one. We are the center of our universe in many ways. Yes, Lord. And even in our troubles and our struggles, Lord, we, as we're praying, as we're seeking him, because I know we are seeking him, but we're often seeking him with our suggestions and how we think it should work out. And Lord, here's, like, if you could just do this, that would be great. Pretty much, I got it worked out. I just really need you to get on with my plans. And so he is reminding us, wow, my ways are higher. I don't want to say, like, no one tells me what to do. But no, I like it really is. Like, he is Almighty God. Who are we? But then, we can rest, though. A God that great who loves us so much. And so, though, it is this God. Now we're back into our passage. So knowing, we've been reminded of this God. He gives power to the faint, and to one who has no might, he increases strength. So we learned, right, that Creator God, he is strong. He is powerful. Well, here we learn he gives of his power. He gives of his strength. That is who he is. And then 30, there's another little reminder. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Yeah, youths, young men, they're considered kind of the strongest of the strong when you look at kind of the humanness of the world. And even just the strength of the world, we tend to look to for help and assistance. And he's reminding us they, too, get weary. They will fall. They will fall exhausted. They will faint. So we should not be putting our trust there. We should be putting our trust in the God who does never get weak, who never faints, who is the giver of his strength. To us. But then there is a condition. Don't you eat that. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And I know we just heard, okay, not to wait. But wait actually is a pretty common call in the Word. We are often called to wait, but we need to understand what waiting means. So actually just, and I could have like done pages and pages of how we're called to wait on our God, because we are not to move into our own strength. I think the whole thing, like, we really are called to be totally dependent on him, and we hate that. I don't know. I like to be in control. I like to perform and do. But we are to wait, and we'll talk about what wait means. Just so I'm just putting a couple, but we need to know that that is a primary, I'm putting it in the command world to make sure that we are not moving ahead of him, that we rely on him to move in our lives and to order our steps and to meet our needs. So we have wait, and actually some of your translations may even use hope or trust as synonyms there. They're actually not. It really is wait. Wait is the Hebrew word. Kiva is, and there are multiple waits in Hebrew. And this is the one, it's one, believe it or not, it's like used in the rope making process. And I know, it's like, and it had to, so, and it denotes a binding process, which I find fascinating to look at wait, a wait in that aspect of, so when that means, like when we're to wait, we are to bind. We are to be binding with our God. What does that hearken to? New Testament, John! No, bless them, they're gonna hate that they sat here. It's the equivalent of the New Testament abiding in the vine, right? The abide, we are to wait. But hope and trust, like they are good. We are encouraged by that because in our act of waiting, right, there should be this expectation, right? Hope that will be fulfilled. Trust, we believe who we're waiting for will do what he says he will do. So those are good words. But it really is wait. We are to bind. So how are we to bind? So I really only wanted to put one bullet. I feel like felt pressure just like put all these bullets, and because it's like such a duh. But I've built it out here. But ultimately, we are to seek to truly know the one true God. And I know that seems, yeah, we are. But there is work involved in knowing and abiding and becoming united, and growing that relationship. If we've come into relationship with Jesus, we do know now that we are in union. God, Jesus has told it, we are in union with him. We have the Holy Spirit within us. But we still have to grow into that life, into that oneness. And it requires knowing the one true God. And I have know there speaks to one of my favorite Greek words, geonosko. This know, because there are also multiple knows, is the know to the depth of our being. It's in there. It's down here. It's not here. It's gone from here. It's now here. I know. And that takes such work. And we need to know the one true God of the Bible. And I will say, it was in my 40s when the Lord had an intervention with me to let me know that, because I'm faithful reading the Bible. I am, I have read it through 30 times, cover to cover. But, you can do these things. Listen to your sermons and your podcasts. Go, we can be immersing ourselves in the Word. But maybe we're only immersing it in some of the Word or just the parts I like. And maybe the books I'm reading or the sermons I'm taking in are just the things that make me feel good. And when I'm reading his word, maybe I don't really want to read Leviticus, or there are things that make me uncomfortable about who God is. There are things that are hard. He is a judge. He is holy. He is totally set apart. Totally above us. And so there are things that go, I'm going to stay. I like the shepherd. I want the friend. I'm going to stay, over here. And God was very clear, you know, that's all good. But I was building an incomplete God. I was building God into my own image. And what is that? It is idolatry. It is idolatry to just go, I'm only going to take this about God. You know, if we want to walk, bind to him, we have to bind all of him. All of him. Take on the whole counsel of God and bind up. And that means, you know, in the parts that we don't understand or where we, you know, oh my gosh, it's concerning. It's what, you know, Lord, what would you have me learn from this? You know, how do you want to speak to me about who you are? Who you are? What am I to do with this? Because we should be able to stand in the whole counsel of God that he is a God of love. He is. He's the ultimate of love and of goodness. And that should be our foundation when we come to these parts that are really difficult. You know, but use it as an opportunity to go, Lord, help me to know you. What are you doing? What are you doing here? And what do you want me to do in this? So I guess that is my call. Like, we are to go deep. Go deep, go hard. And then just, you know, I'd put this in because we are in Isaiah. And it is just amazing. We should, and we're reading his word. It is the looking for. Our Bible is about God. Like, he gave this to us to tell us about himself, who he is, who we are in relationship to who he is, and his plan, what he's doing. And we should be reading, looking for that. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. And know all of you. Any good relationship, you gotta like know all. And so just in Isaiah alone, and this isn't even an exhaustive list, you know, we know the bigness of him. We see Lord of hosts, right? You know, we see he is the Holy One. He's great, just, sovereign. But then we also, he is the loving Father. He is the shepherd in Isaiah. You know, we see the big and we see the close and the intimate. We need to take it all in. So then also in the waiting, we are to remain teachable, you know, and obedient. Yes, he does call us to be obedient in his word. If we are going to seek him, he's going to speak to us. He's going to show us the way to go, and we are to move. We are to move into it. And then we are submit any expectations, wants, and dreams. And that's a hard kicker. If we really do say, Lord, it is your will in our lives. And he cares. He cares about our dreams and our expectation. He cares about all that because he knows them. But usually in a time of waiting, in the time of binding, we may have to think about, do I have some of those things in my life? Are some of my expectations, some of my dreams, have they become an idol? You know, have they become more important than knowing God? He will take us into those places because he is a jealous God. And he will not compete because he knows he is better. It is from a place of goodness. It is from a place of love. But he will want us to be inspecting those things in our lives, in our hearts. And then lastly, this is back to the hope and the trust. We need to bring a sense of confidence to the table that God will do what he says he will do. And even when we don't feel it, like just stand, like Laura, we still stand. That's the, you know, the standing, the stepping. I step because I know, I'm believing you to be the God of your word, of your word. And so in that waiting, he will renew our strength. And this is a constant refreshing. Think of that as a continual. This is not a one-time event. We just don't get new strength. We get strength, 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 strength daily, daily. And then what does that strength look like? This is the illustration. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles is the metaphor. Eagles, amazing creatures, like powerful, fast birds. Okay, wingspan 6 to 7 feet. Mm-hmm. Like the hawks that we see, which I think are pretty huge, are not as big as these birds. They're like bigger than us. I don't know, anyone over like 7 feet, six here? Powerful birds. And interesting enough, they get new feathers every year. Yeah, I know, they molt, a whole new set. Wow. Every year. And we have mount up, rise up, lift up, and we get to soar. We get to their strength. As the eagle, and they shall not run without being weary, or they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But I want to get to, because I know we're at time, coming to time. But the aspect of the powerhouse of the eagle, they can soar 10,000 feet, 3,000 feet. They can actually see a fish under the water. Under their prey, which is amazing. But you know what? They've raised up. They have a whole new perspective, and amazing, God-given eyesight, right? See this bigger picture, this bigger plan of God, with the power to be able to see. That's where I need to go, from far, and go. And then we can't help, though, the whole aspect of like soaring on the wind, right? They rarely, once they are up there, they rarely flap their wings. Do y'all see them? We've got a couple of pairs around the church here. And Thursday, I was walking out of the church Thursday, and a couple, because they'll pair, flew right in front down on the parking lot and up, and which, I don't know, made me weep. But then, you see them up, and they're just soaring. They're just high above, but they're on the wind. And what do we know is the wind? The Spirit. Ruach, right? The breath of God. The breath of God. And we do need to know, and Laurel mentioned this, if we submitted to Him, we are believers, we are trusting in Him, we have the Holy Spirit within us. He is in us. He is living within us. It is a power that we need to activate, and it's not even activate, it's like clue in on, like He is there. And His role, and Laurel mentioned it, He's the helper, the paraclete, right? He's the one who guides us into truth. So if we're in His Word, we can trust the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into the truth of the Word. Now, if we're not in the Word, He's not guiding us. We're not taking advantage of that. But He is the comforter, the strengthener of who we are. He is the equipper. He is the empowerer. He's the one who gives us our gifts when we need it. But we need to know that He's there. We need to invite Him into our life daily. Invite Him into our life to walk with us. And I think, hallelujah, we are a church that acknowledges the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And yet, I think we only just look for Him just do the big things, the things that I can't do. And we keep, I'll bring Him in when I need healing, bring Him in, save me. But He really is there to walk with us every day, every hour, every minute, to help bind us to God, right? That concept of the rope. That we then, when two or three, and then gather like the rope, that is what God wants of us, to be bound, right? Him in us in Him, Lord. that then we are moving and then becoming his light, becoming his witness, becoming his salt, totally not of our own strength, right? The eagle's not flying on his own strength. Or he's not soaring, he's soaring on the wind, right? And I'm someone who, yes, I'm a huge performer. Like, I want to know that I can do it. And it's the struggling and the striving, the trying. When really, I should be letting him do it. You know? So much more powerful. So much more fulfilling. And the outcomes are greater than you could ever imagine. But it is hard. I think we do struggle with, you know, the opening of the hand. We come to God asking, but we often come with closed hands. You know? Lord, like, I need you. I need your power. I need your strength. I need you to do in me what I cannot do in myself. And this is just in the day-to-day. Just in the day-to-day. You know, much less for the big stuff. So, this is that I find, you know, all of his word is amazing. But I hope we will take, you know, the power of his truth, right? Raise ourselves up. Have we made our God too small? You know, are we bringing to him our desires, our way of solving a problem, wanting him just to kind of come alongside and make it happen? You know, or are we really submitting that his ways truly are higher than our ways? And then are we stepping into the power that we have, like embracing the power that we have of God, the God, because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are one God. Three persons, one God. The power of Almighty God lives in the three persons, the function. And that lives in you. That lives in you. But we need to know it and step into it, embrace it. And hard to do, but that is what we're called to do. That's what, you know, in his love for us that he has gifted us with his presence day in, day out. So, close with the reminder. I didn't get my 5-minute warning. Oh my gosh, I could have talked more. I don't know. But just the reminder. And this is, you know, this is from a few chapters later into the book of Salvation. And you shall know. Here. Know that I am Lord, the Lord. I'm the Lord. There's no greater pursuit in life than to know, be fully confident in who he is and how great he is, and who we are in him. And can those who wait, who bind up with him, will not be put to shame. There may be hardship, there may be struggle, but there will be no shame. Amen? Father, let me pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for your word. Oh my goodness, Lord, thank you for the amazing truths that you give us and that you've given us these promises that we must but stand on, Lord, and take it deep within us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to bind with you, Lord, to abide with you. Lord, open our eyes to truly the greatness of who you are, all the attributes that you are and bring, Father, even the ones we don't like. Lord, that you make us one with that, Lord, and that we would seek you, come to seek you every day, Lord, every hour. Seek the spirit that is within us, the great gift that you have given us, Lord, that will strengthen us, Lord, that will give us peace, Lord, that will give us joy, and that will equip us, Lord, to walk in your strength, Father, day in and day out. I just praise you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And bless these women, Lord, whatever need, fathers represented here, Father, we just lift it up to you because you are great. You are great. There is no other. There is no other capable of meeting the needs that we have, Father. So we lift them up to you and we trust you with them, Lord, for your will to be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right.